it. I like to move it, move it. You like to move it. Because freedom and liberty are not a spectator sport. We welcome you to Movers and Shakers with Stacy Ann, broadcasting and webcasting and defending liberty guaranteed by our Constitution. And now here's Stacy Ann.
Friends, so glad to have you along today on this Saturday. Again, another live broadcast. And oh my goodness, it's been an incredible week. And I'm so excited to bring some updates to you as to what's going on, not only here in our own backyard in Oregon, but across the nation. And you may or may not know this, but today on several levels is an important day. First and foremost, I want to say to my daughter, Shelby, and her wonderful husband, happy anniversary. It's their anniversary today. And of course, they're the parents to my three lovely grand treasures, Chloe, Colby, and Collins. And so it's a special day for them today. And I hope it's incredible. They're in South Dakota. And then on a more kind of a heartwarming, sad note on this day, 12 years ago, my brother passed away and went to be with the Lord at the tender age of 38, leaving behind a wife and three kids, and again reminded how precious life is. And so thinking of his family and certainly my parents and our family members, Rob was an incredible man, and he loved the Lord, and it's sad that he's not with us, but I know he's in a great place. And today also is the birthday of Paul Harvey. So those of you that are in radio like myself, Paul Harvey was an incredible broadcaster. In fact, he's from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And my friend Adam and I from Cat Pond, Capital Pond, we want to say thank you for being a morning show sponsor. CatPond.com. If you have any need at all, I encourage you to stop by. They probably have what you need. If you need a little cash, you could probably pawn something. And an incredible gun selection, CatPond.com. But Adam put this on his timeline yesterday and reminded us that today, September 4th, is Paul Harvey's birthday. And in honor of Paul Harvey, I wanted to play this because when I listened to it, Adam, thank you so very much. It resonates with where we're at today. It's a powerful segment, and I'll plug in the link into the show plan so you can watch the video with it. This comes off of YouTube, and it's from Freedom to Chains, and I want to share this with you this morning.
Now then, what makes a nation strong? Taxes? There's nothing new about those either. The first income tax was paid by Abraham. Was written on a rock by the hand of divinity and handed to Moses at the top of Mount Sinai. And you might want to remember this. It was at the flat rate of 10%. It promised the wrath of God on anybody who tampered with or violated that law. Christ was born in Bethlehem because Joseph was on his way to pay his taxes. Joseph was a relatively well-to-do landowner of the house and lineage of David. Yet the taxes exacted by Caesar Augustus were so exorbitant that he didn't have enough money left over to employ a trusted messenger for the mission, so though his wife was great with child, he made the journey himself. And Christ was born in Bethlehem because Joseph was on his way to pay his taxes. And Christ was born in a manger because there was a housing shortage when he got there. Our problems are not new. At Runnymede, the Magna Carta was handed to King John on the end of a sword, denying to royalty the right of unlimited taxation. Yet you know it was for us, the American people, to become the first in recorded history ever voluntarily to surrender our rights to private property. Oh, yes, we did. With an innocent-sounding constitutional amendment, the 16th, which says that Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes on incomes from whatever source derived, and we forgot to put any limit on the extent to which we could tax ourselves. Conceivably, we could be taxed out of all private property. We could be taxed not 70%, 80%, 90%, but 100%. We could awaken one morning and find that the government owns the farm and the house and the car and has a mortgage on the church, legally. Historically, whenever any nation has taxed its people more than 25% of their national income, initiative was destroyed and that nation was headed for economic eclipse. Well, presently, the American people are being taxed 33% of their total income. History says we'll roll forward on momentum for a little while, but we'd better get some more gas in the tank pretty quick. You see, ours is not the first by George Good government to arise on the world stage. There have been several. Rome, Spain, and Greece, and China, and each enjoyed about 150 years at its zenith. That's just about our time in the New World. And then each decayed away. Not one of them was ever destroyed by anybody else's marching legions. Each rotted away, morally, socially, culturally, economically, simultaneously. You know, one of the most cruel paradoxes of history is this. Because each was a good government, it bore bountiful fruit. And when it bore bountiful fruit, the people got fat. And when they got fat, they got lazy. And when they got lazy, they began to want to absolve themselves of personal responsibility and turn over to government to do for them things which traditionally they had been doing for themselves. At first, there appears to be nothing wrong asking government to perform some extra service for you, but if you ask government for extra services, government, in order to perform its increasing function, has to get bigger, right? And as government gets bigger, in order to support its increasing size, it has to what? Tax the individual more, so the individual gets littler. And to collect the increased taxes requires more tax collectors, so the government gets bigger. In order to pay the additional tax collectors, it has to tax the individual more, so the government gets bigger and the individual gets littler. And the government gets bigger and the individual gets littler until the government is all-powerful. The individual is hardly anything at all. The government is all-powerful. The people are cattle. Now, some believe that the need is for a vigorous, strong man to arise on the scene, to regulate and regiment the affairs of men. Yet history tells us there have been several such. Once upon a time, there was a nation great and powerful and good. She was suffering from the aftermath of war, from a depression. And then came upon the scene a leader, an idealist, self-confident, intolerant of criticism. Wisely, he limited his early activities to combating the financial depression. Nobody could argue with that. But in a while, he began to regulate business and establish new rules to govern commerce and finance. Some of them in diametrical disagreement with the God-made laws of supply and demand, but anybody who disagreed with those new rules was promptly fired. The new leader saw that under the old system of free enterprise, landlords prospered, so he levied new taxes to take away their profits and destroy what he called the monopoly of capital. To please laborers, he controlled prices. To win the favor of the farmers, he gave them loans and subsidies. The national debt mounted alarmingly. Whenever anybody tried to tell him that governments, even as people, can go broke when they spend beyond their incomes, he said they just didn't understand deficit finance. Well, what do you say? Did he build on rock or on sand? I say on sand. For you see, this was the story of Emperor Tsu Tung Po, who led China to its doom more than 1,000 years ago. I am satisfied with all my heart that if Uncle Sam ever does get whipped, here too, it will have been an inside job. It was internal decay, it was not external attack that destroyed the Roman Empire. Starting about 146 B.C., internal conditions in Rome were characterized by a welter of class wars and conflicts, street brawls, corrupt governors, lack of personal integrity and moral responsibility. About 290 years after Christ, a Roman emperor named Diocletian took over. He really grabbed the bull by the horns. He took over in a period of turmoil and severe depression. The first thing Diocletian did was call in the gold and close the banks and raise the taxes. He reduced the power of the Senate, delegated its power to a lot of little government bureaus. Do you know they even had a Transportation Act back there prescribing the fee required to rent one laden ass per mile, and at today's rate of exchange it would have amounted to about 1/8 cent per mile, which meant that in order to make a profit, a jackass would have to carry 5 passengers? That was simply beyond the capacity of the jackass. Diocletian put millions of people on the public payroll, but when this failed to do the job, the country was still in trouble. He asked more personal powers for himself. For a brief while, incidentally, they were standby powers, but then he used them all at once. He froze wages, he froze prices, he froze jobs, he stopped profits, he dictated to the farmer what he should plant, when and how he should sell it, and for how much, and he rationed food. And what happened? The labor market closed down. Incentive was gone. Farm life became dependent on bureaucratic red tape. Exorbitant taxes cost the farmer his land. He kept for himself only a small plot on which he might grow turnips for his family. He lost the rest of it to the state. And without food and with incentive gone, city life stagnated and declined. And Rome passed into what history has recorded as the Dark Ages, lasting 1,000 years. Just by turning to the left, the world has gone in circles. A nation would evolve from a monarchy into an oligarchy, from oligarchy to dictatorship, from dictatorship to bureaucracy, from bureaucracy to pure democracy, where finally the people would cry out from the chaos and confusion of the streets, "Oh, please, God, give us a king," and God would give them a king, and they'd have a monarchy again and start the whole silly cycle anew. Now, either we will profit from the errors of their ways, or it follows as the night, the day, our children are going to have to relive the Dark Ages all over again. How come, after thousands of years of experiment, our new nation has come so far so fast? All this in less than 200 years. What is the secret of our success? Well, I think it had to do with a basic American's creed. Perhaps it never passed the pioneer's lips in this form, but if it had, I think he would have said something like this: "I believe in my God, in my country, and in myself." I know that sounds like a trite, too simple thing to say, and yet it's a rare man today who will dare to stand up and say, "I believe in my God, and my country, and in myself," and in that order. When the early American pioneer first turned his eyes toward the West, there were only Indian trails, or traces, as they were called, for him to follow through the wilderness. Do you know today you can roller skate from Miami to Seattle? From San Diego to Plymouth Rock? In this little bitty instant, as historical time is measured, our 7% of the Earth's population has come to possess more than half of all the world's good things. How come? Well, sir, when that early pioneer turned his eyes toward the West, he didn't demand that somebody else look after him. He didn't demand a free education. He didn't demand a guaranteed rocking chair at eventide. He didn't demand that somebody else take care of him if he got ill or got old. There was an old-fashioned philosophy in those days that a man was supposed to provide for his own and for his own future. He didn't demand a maximum amount of money for a minimum amount of work. Nor did he expect pay for no work at all. Come to think of it, he didn't demand anything. That hard-handed pioneer just looked out there at the rolling plains stretching away to the tall green mountains and then lifted his eyes to the blue skies and said, "Thank you, God. Now I can take it from here."
Oh, so good. Paul Harvey wrapping up our first segment today. You're listening to Movers and Shakers of St. Anne. Thank you for tuning in, Liberty-loving friends. We'll be back after this. Joshua joining me in the studio. We'll be back soon. So glad to have you along. I'm Stacey Ann, and we have so much to cover that I want to share with you. In fact, there is so much coming up with the 20th anniversary of 9/11 this next Saturday. It's like I can be in three different places, four or five different places at once, and I'm going to go with what I committed to originally, and that is going with the Gathering of the Eagles, which is going to take place. And I'll send a link if it's something you're interested in. You need information, you can send me an email, stacy@kslm.news. And, of course, there's all kinds of things. There's an honoring ceremony going to happen at Timbertown Harley-Davidson right here in Salem. They're going to have the mayor. They're going to have the fire chief, the police chief. They're going to do a whole patriotic thing there. And then all weekend long, starting on Thursday, Chris Ann Hall is going to be here. Chris Ann Hall is a constitutional attorney. She's been doing this for many, many years. She's served in the military. She knows military intelligence. She knows our U.S. Constitution. And she has been in the trenches fighting the culture war and helping folks that now are looking at possibly losing their job because of the mandates that are coming down here in Oregon and all across the country, in fact. And she's got some strategic wisdom that she's passed on to several of us, including our Pastor Lou at the River Church here in Salem, who's giving exemptions and helping people kind of mitigate what's going on through their employers. And so there's a lot of information to be had and a lot of information to get out there. And we want to keep aware of what's going on here in Oregon. One of the things that I'm very concerned about is a lot of the distraction and the chaos is keeping us distracted from what they're really maybe doing. And one of the things that I think they're doing, and I want to thank Northwest Observer. If you are not subscribed to Northwest Observer, I encourage you to get subscribed, northwestobserver.com. They keep an alert on what's going on here in the Pacific Northwest, and redistricting is really big. And if you're concerned about election integrity and what happened this last election cycle, and you want to make sure next election cycle things are better, one of the moves is this redistricting. And so the redistricting, say that three times fast, maps proposed are out. House and Senate redistricting committees release proposed maps for public review and testimony. The House and Senate committees on redistricting release proposed congressional and legislative delineating new district boundaries for Oregon's congressional and legislative districts. They're having virtual public hearings through September 8th and the 13th. This is really critical information. I'll make sure that there's a link in the show plan for this, that you get this out to as many people you know. We need to show up to these hearings and we need to be heard about the redistricting. And so that's really, really some pretty important news. We've got all kinds of things going on this weekend. We've got the state fair continuing, and I'm hearing reports that people have gone and enjoyed the state fair, and they're not even hassled about wearing the mask, which right now, yay, and entering the studio with me is Joshua. Joshua, welcome. I went yesterday all throughout Salem, several different places, and did not wear my mask. In fact, most people were, and so I felt like a real rebel, and I already had my statement proposed. That when someone comes to me, I'll say, you know, I have my natural immunity. I'm not a threat to you, and you're not a threat to me. And so I already had, but no one came up to me. In fact, the only gal that came up to me was like, oh, I see you're not, have you been harassed? I'm like, no. She was like, okay, I'm taking mine off. And so it empowered her. But since coming back from South Dakota to Oregon, I noticed that there's this, so many in the stores, people don't even question it. They don't even look at you anymore. They don't even, you know, I mean, it's just a non-issue. There's other things going on, isn't there?
Well, there's a few of the radicals, yeah. You know, some of the radical corporations are still, you know, getting their minions to enforce it. But for the most part, they're realizing that they're overstepping and they don't have the authority to do that. You don't hire these people to have the authority to be a mask enforcer, plain and simple. Mm-hmm. And it's discrimination on its face at this point. The science is bad. The CDC is lying. The Oregon Health Authority is lying. They're wrong. The governor's wrong. It's bad science. It makes no sense. It's been disproven time and time and time again. So if you're on the fence about not wearing a mask or wearing the mask, or you feel like, you know, you don't want that pressure, I invite you to indulge it. I don't even own a mask, and I welcome the conflict.
Yes.
And welcome that, and it entails, you know, a lot of courage in some ways, but it's very liberating, and it's also you know, inspiring in the sense of seeing how far we've come to the mental illness that's around us of all the people wearing masks. You know, you can throw a rock anymore pretty much and see that the science is bad. It does not make sense. On the mask box itself, it says it does not protect you or prevent you against coronavirus.
Well, and let me share this with my Arkansas and my South Dakota friends that are watching. And we are on my personal Facebook page trying the whole live thing. Hello, everybody. My sister just joined in. It's kind of fun. I do want to share this, that if you're in these other states, you have no clue what it's like to live in Oregon and the shaming and the, you know, the forcing and the outdoors and indoors. According to Queen Kate's mandates, we're supposed to be wearing masks. Mm-hmm. And yet she had told us just 2 months ago that she would free us, quote unquote, if we got at a certain vaccination or jab rate, mm-hmm. Right, of over 70%. And we reached that. And then she's like, oh, just kidding. Now there's a new variant, but they can't test specifically for this new variant. I don't know how they know it's a new variant.
It's because this is all a plan. This mm-hmm. has nothing to do with your health. It has nothing to do with your safety. Has nothing to do with anything. Mm-hmm. Kate is simply following a plan. Mm-hmm. She's following a plan. Operation Lockstep's the easiest one to find. It's the easiest one to look at.
Look it up.
You can look it up, and more importantly, you can see where it's going. You can look at what's happening in Australia right now. They've basically announced you got to stay in your home. You can't leave your house. We are introducing the CDC. It's on their website right now. It's the first thing that'll pop up. You go to cdc.gov, mm-hmm. and you look up the shielding approach. I talked about the shielding approach last summer. They're getting ready to introduce it, which we can talk about in the next segment. Mm-hmm. But that's a key point I want you guys to understand. So, you know, taking your job away or threatening your job if you don't get the vaccine, I'm hearing a huge amount of people that are like, I'm going to have to get fired.
We're going to talk about this when we get back, because there are steps that we can take now to get an exemption and work on that. So we'll get back to this. You're listening to Movers and Shakers with Stacey Ann and Joshua this morning. We'll be back after this. Shakers with Stacey Ann. Hello. So glad to be hanging out with you today. Thank you for tuning in, friends. And I want to say thank you to Joshua for joining me in this studio today. And of course, his little guy as well is here. You think he's ever been in a studio before like this? Oh, that would be fun to be able to to influence the next generation. When we talk about influencing the next generation, the cool thing is there some strong people standing up? And I don't know, Joshua, if you had a chance to look at some of the leaders in, believe it or not, there are a few of them. Dennis Lithicum, I don't even know if I'm saying his name right, representative at the State House. He's saying Governor Brown's vaccine and mask mandates are not about public health, COVID, or reasoned public response to formidable health issues. Today, the issue has moved from health to control.
That's right.
And COVID is the excuse, with mass testing, tracking, vaccines, and fear as tools. As individuals, we realize that informed consent rightly belongs to each of us as individuals and parents. After all, our health, our children, and the health of our children is our responsibility, not the government's. This is why the choice of wearing a mask or receiving a vaccine belongs to the individual, not the public health official. If the above statements are true, then Governor Brown's new vaccine requirements are pure overreach. The latest mandates for teachers, volunteers, state employees in public safety, correctional, and healthcare settings, along with ongoing school opening decrees, run contrary to the bulwark of laws establishing precedents for protecting an individual's right or refusal and full informed consent. This should be end of discussion. And he goes on, and I'll put a link to this because I think it's very good. It's spot on. It calls out the fact that even the media and the lack of integrity in the truth, which I find so ironic in this cancel culture, because anything you try to put on there, research, information that counters their media message, they cancel or they say it's not factual, right? But mm-hmm. they're not factual. The fact that they're trying to say that the vaccine, the one is actually approved, FDA approved, is not truthful.
Yeah.
It is not.
They reauthorized the Pfizer emergency and just said that it was FDA approved. And the people in the FDA, one of the top, two of the top people in the FDA quit based off of this, mm-hmm. because the White House is trying to override the FDA. Just keep in mind, guys, I mean, I can say this until I'm blue in the face. The media is lying to you. The Oregon Health Authority is lying to you. The governor is lying to you.
Yes.
The CDC is lying to you. The FDA is trying to tell you the truth, which they are the governing body to oversee the vaccines. They are trying to, however, the head individual that was just put in of the FDA is the same lady that authorized and legalized OxyContin and fentanyl and brought that to the United States,
boy.
That whole debacle back in 2003. She's the same one pushing the shot narrative that it's authorized and this and that, leading to the number two and number three people to basically step down last week.
Mm-hmm.
They had a whole thing about it. The media made it about the boosters. It's beyond the boosters.
Right.
They said, we don't recommend this for children. We don't recommend this pretty much for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's only circumstantial. It's just getting pushed under the rug because, once again, the censorship is in full swing. They're censoring your phone. They're censoring your internet. They're censoring your communication. They're censoring anybody, any doctor, anything that is dissenting off of this, you know, shot
mm-hmm.
marketing plan.
Right.
You know, from the $1 million to this and that, and you gotta get it. The fact is, and here's the thing that I want people to remember, the good thing that's happening,
mm-hmm.
one, is the genie's out of the bottle,
right.
The cat's out of the bag. We see these tyrannical monsters, such as our Governor Kate Brown, tyrannical, overreaching monsters. The leaders of the Oregon Health Authority, they are monsters. They are not looking for your best interest at all, okay? So people are starting to realize that. And the second thing people are starting to realize is that these people are not gonna save you. These governing bodies are not gonna save you. It's time for you to take your freedoms in your own hands, make your own conscious decisions. Do you want your kids to go to school and wear a mask? If not, is the school board going to comply? No. We go to the school board, they say, oh my gosh, our hands are tied. There's nothing we can do. Well, the thing is, what are you guys good for there? What are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Just regurgitating? Are you creating the perception or the illusion that you're a community based organization or a local based organization when all your authority has been subverted into the higher ups, to the governor or the Oregon Health Authority? What good are you?
Right.
Why don't we get rid of you?
And that's exactly what happened in a school board here.
It's happening
in
everywhere.
School board in Oregon said, we will not enforce the governor's mask mandate upon our children. The superintendent took it upon himself to
yep.
say, no, I'm going to enforce this.
Well, there's always one
Kate
bad
Brown,
egg.
And guess what? The school board did. Adios, amigo.
That's right.
It doesn't matter if you have a contract. You're
and
out
that
of here.
Is their role.
Mm-hmm.
And people are forgetting that. And the great thing that's happened over this past 2 years is people are rediscovering their rugged individualism.
Yes.
And the importance of, listen, you don't need me to be on the radio and tell you what to do or what to think or how
mm-hmm.
to be or whatever. All I want to tell you is how I feel
think
and what
yourself.
I've discovered and
yes.
what I've seen and what these hundreds and hundreds of doctors, which are now being censored, discredited, deplatformed this year,
mm-hmm.
but for the past 30 years, all their credentials have been great.
Mm-hmm.
They've studied biowarfare. They've studied vaccines. They've studied all of these things. They've written books and written, you know,
published.
Real law
yes.
and just different things in it. But now all of a sudden they're a conspiracy disinformation person.
Mm.
You know, while at the same time the federal government's rolling out disinformation campaigns against American terrorists or domestic terrorists, and that deemed anybody that questions the election, that, you know, questions the vaccine, questions the authentication of COVID-19, which keep in mind, they've never been able to isolate it for testing. Remember Harvard last year?
Right.
They requested an isolated incident. They're like, well, we don't have one. We don't
right.
have that.
Right.
Okay. The PCR test, the guy that invented the PCR test, you said you can't use it for that. So yet we are still, there's still things in our mind that we need to overcome and realize that the tests are faulty. The numbers that they're portraying are faulty. I'm hearing now that, you know, all the ICUs are overran. The hospitals are overran. Well, do you know why that is? There's
because
a couple
they're
reasons.
They're quitting.
Exactly. Well, that's one instance.
Mm-hmm.
They're quitting because they don't want the vaccine either.
Right.
They're seeing the effects of the vaccine
mm-hmm.
in real time.
Yes.
You know, so one of the big media lies, and they're going to lie to you folks, and you just got to turn the TV off. You just got to go, even if you don't have all the answers, just go out in the world and rediscover.
Yes.
And start being able to think from yourself. Think for yourself. So if you start there, from there, then you'll be able to recognize truth and deceit.
Mm-hmm.
You can rebalance and regrow. And that's one of the things and the best things that I think that have come from this.
One of the silver linings, you're absolutely right, is the fact that people are starting to question and they're starting to look and starting to reason. And this isn't this is not a Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, non-affiliated. What we're talking about is individual liberty. And freedom without morality is tyranny.
Yes.
Freedom with morality is liberty. And we need to be aware. We need to do our homework. I know some people are like, but in school, I didn't like history.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was how many years ago? It's time to get involved. And that's why the first segment, I played that Paul Harvey mm-hmm. piece from 1965, From Freedom to Chains, talking about the even way back then, and that was way before I was born, how our society, if we can keep it, right? It's a republic if we can keep it. And
well,
so
it's up to us.
We are the people.
Yep.
We've got to get involved. We've got to get engaged.
Yep.
The time of comfort is over. Now, Joshua, here's what's going on. There's a new awakening. Let's talk a little bit about that. We got a little bit of time yet. What is happening because of our heroes who are on the front lines? Whether
are all
it be
of a sudden
our,
not heroes anymore.
Yeah, police, our mm-hmm. our sheriff department, our firemen, our teachers, our healthcare staff were the heroes last year because they had to keep plugging through.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because they're standing up and saying, I don't want anything to do with the jab, now they're not heroes anymore.
Correct.
But because of this, and again, through all party lines, and it is affecting individuals at the very much at the local level, there's an awareness, like, what can I do? All of a sudden, oh my goodness,
there's
my
a catalyzing
job,
event.
What am I going to do? How am I going to feed my family?
Yep.
You know, and what's going on? What are you seeing happening?
You're right. I'm seeing a huge carpet getting ripped out from everybody. You know, there was a big awakening, I think, last year when people are like, wait, what? My kid can't go to school.
Mm-hmm.
I got to work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do. And there was this mass chaos, and there was a huge awakening with parents at that time, and they're like, whoa, like, this is crazy.
My kids are learning too when they got into it.
But you know, the good thing that came from that, massive homeschool enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
Parents got together. They did the co-ops, which I'm looking to do this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I recommend and encourage everybody, drop the public education system.
Yes.
Drop it completely. If they drop their attendance by 30%, they lose all their funding.
Mm-hmm.
They lose all their infrastructure. Suddenly, the school board that's not cooperating, or the superintendent, or whomever is being unreasonable.
Obstacle, yes.
Suddenly, they will have to come to the table and negotiate with you. But here's the thing. Your kids, at this point, you think, they need to get the experience. They need to go to school. They need to do this. They're probably better off at this point not getting into those indoctrination centers. They're destroying the education system. They're destroying the education itself, to where it's better if you get, just find somebody in your community that you trust, or a couple people, get a couple families together, enroll your kids in homeschool, and then they just meet and have a schedule, and they can still do, quote, school. That's a co-op. And it's huge. And I think it'll benefit your children tenfold, and get them out of that, you know, prison.
And I want to say something to that, Josh, because you're hitting it right, the hammer on the nail. Here's what, if you're out there and you're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. My daughter doesn't know what to do, but we definitely feel like this urgency and this pull to do this. Send me an email, Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y @KSLM.news, and I'll connect you to people who do know.
There's tons of
people
out there.
All kinds of resources out there.
And now the new thing that's catalyzing this year is, oh, wow, I'm going to have to get the jab and in order to keep my job. And these employers are just, they're basically doing a, you know, Mexican standoff and trying to call your bluff. Basically, what they want you to do is they want you to quit.
Mm.
So the first thing I tell you is do not quit your job.
Nope.
And when they do fire you, in the termination letter, do not sign it unless they specifically say, because you did not receive the COVID-19 injection, which is the reason we're terminating you. And if they don't have that in the termination letter, do an amendment at the bottom and make them sign it because they will pay. It's only a matter of time, but
it
they will
happen.
Pay. The Great Awakening is coming, and people are fed up with this and understanding to the depths that these people are willing to go. So much they don't care about your job. They don't care about a 30% decrease in employment. They're not worried about that. And more importantly, it's a psychological game they're trying to play with you.
Yes.
They want to bluff you.
Yes.
So they're big and bold and official sounding and official looking, and the governor's backing them, and this, the unemployment's not going to cover it if you get fired from that. Do
not
listen. You have rights. You are an American citizen in the state of Oregon. There are precautions and procedures that we have to go through.
And bottom line, it sounds simple. It is simple, but it's also complex. Where do you put your trust, friends? Where do you put your trust? Who do you put your trust in? And we're going to get to that when we come back from this break. You're listening to Movers and Shakers with Stacey Ann on Reliable News Talk Radio KSLM. We'll be back after this. Yeah, you. Studio with me is my friend Joshua, who comes in and is my co-host here and there. Thank you, Joshua, for being here. A couple things coming up I want to remind our listeners is there is some events coming up. Chris Ann Hall is coming to town to Salem, Oregon. And if you're listening from another state, Arkansas, Texas, South Dakota, I encourage you to look into Chris Ann Hall, KRISANNEHall.com, and see about having her to your state too, because even though you're not on a major lockdown like we are here in Oregon, I'm telling you that there's seeds planted in every state in this union and all around the world to make these adjustments and the control. And there's a thing called the shield we're going to get to in just a moment. But what we can do is get involved locally. And Chris Ann Hall will be here Thursday. Go to the River Church to their website, and I'll put a link in the show plan and get registered for that. It's going to be a phenomenal 4 days of training and education. And then this weekend as well is the gathering. The Oregon Liberty Coalition is doing the Gathering of the Eagles. We'll put some information about that. That's going to be a wonderful time. And then our friends, of course, I got to throw this in here, our friends at Harley-Davidson here, Timbertown Harley-Davidson, they're going to do a special patriotic honoring of our frontline folks, and the mayor's going to be there, and our police chief, I believe, our fire chief, and all of that, and just do an honoring of our veterans. And that'll be a special time at Timbertown Harley coming up this Saturday. Now, as we talk about this plandemic that we've been dealing with, remember, Joshua, 2 weeks to flatten the curve, right? Here we are, however many weeks later. And one of the articles that I got, and I talked a little bit about this on Fridays, I've been doing a special appearance with the River Church Roundtable on Facebook and YouTube. And we talked about this yesterday, too. I love this headline, what the church needs to know about COVID-19. And what it says is, if the church stood up, COVID-19 would be over. Think about that.
Well, that's why they've attacked the church. They've shut down churches, but kept the porn shops open, and the liquor stores are open, but the churches have to close, or the churches have to be at 15%, or, you know, they got hit the hardest because they are the enemy of freedom.
Well, and
not the enemy of freedom, but the enemy of
the tyranny and the tyrants. And here's what the reality is. They even have a faith liaison. They have this pastor faith liaison guy through the government that's telling the churches how to influence their parishioners to get the jab. And that even in this email, according to Pastor Lou, that he got, it said that this shot, this jab, is a gift from God.
Yeah.
And in nowhere in the email did it talk about the true gift from God is Jesus and having a personal relationship with him.
Well, of course.
And through, it's again, what's the fruit? What does the fruit look like?
Yeah, right? And these people, just like this liaison and the, you know, leader of the Oregon Health Authority, Seidlinger, and the governor, right? And they're always pretending to have the authority over you. And so it's just a marketing campaign, and you know, you got to realize you do have rights and you do have freedoms, and you have to test them and exercise them and utilize them every day to maintain them. Mm-hmm. So they try to come out and present things. They don't have the authority to bully and monitor all of us. If we all took off our masks and went outside and just went business as usual,
there's nothing that
they don't have
done.
The ability mm-hmm. to route that in and catalyze this, which is why they're rolling out this thing called the shielding approach. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I talked about this last year, but basically it's herding of us as cattle and how they're going to be able to initiate the next lockdown and corral us into different migrant zones and be able to monitor each zone. They're going to do it through cell phones. And if you don't want to get a cell phone, you have to get a chip, okay? So this is their plan, and this is what they're trying to do. They're already in rolling it out in other countries.
Well, and their biggest obstacle right now to a lot of this and our privacy is the U.S. Constitution.
It's so our guns. It's Second Amendment.
And our Second Amendment. And the reality for us is this. If we're not exercising our knowledge of the Constitution and what's in there,
sure.
then they can bully us into thinking we don't have these rights.
Well, they're overriding the Constitution mm-hmm. all day, every day.
Yes.
I mean, with these shots and the mandates and the hypocrisy and the bad science and everything else, they're coercing people into doing things out of fear mm-hmm. and basically trampling all over the Constitution. Now, that's a hard step to go about, and it's going to take a long time. Mm-hmm. They're planning on throwing everything in the judiciary system and tying it up in court for the next 5 years. That's where the constitutional perspective is going to go,
mm-hmm.
right? And now, that's not a bad angle to take, but I'm going to tell you
not
what's
the
coming.
Only angle, right?
Well, the best thing to do is just is free yourself from all of this stuff mm-hmm. and challenge them.
Yes.
Challenge it, you know. United noncompliance is what Chris Kaye talks about and having huge success in Canada. He's got over 80,000 businesses signed up in United noncompliance in Vancouver, BC.
Good.
80,000 businesses, which is a huge amount. Right.
Well, and Chris Ann Hall's noncompliantmovie.com.
Yep.
You can also read there. We got a little bit of time left. I want to encourage folks, if your employer is forcing you through maybe the state or maybe a corporation, and you're like, I want to know how to get an exemption. I need to know what I can do on my conscience and on my religious exemption to stand up at my job. The River Church is helping. Chris Ann Hall's coming this week. The River Church is having meetings this weekend. If you need more information, send me an email, Stacy@kslm.news. I'll get you that information. Any last minute thoughts here before we wrap it up here, Josh, for today?
No, there's so much to cover, but the best thing to say, I would say, you know, those that are their job are getting threatened, definitely come out to the River Church. I'll be there. Come out, reach out to me. There's another neighboring church mm-hmm. next door that we're partnering up with Pastor Lou mm-hmm. And just creating a huge amount of resources. If we need to get legal, we can get legal. But the best thing to do is stay at your job, you know, give them the religious exemption if you have, you know, convictions in your heart about God and this and that, and push forward and call their bluff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the reality is most people don't challenge these people. So they're not used to a quote fight or an argument or a debate. It's like debating a liberal. They don't really have any facts. They're just like, well, Fauci said this. Well, it's like, okay, Fauci also said this.
Mm-hmm.
So which one do you agree with? Because he's literally done a 180.
On both sides of the fence.
So which
yep.
side of the fence are you on? And they're like, I don't know. And that's what I'm finding with a lot of these people, you know, these high authority people, the heads of school boards, these judges that mm-hmm. I'm talking with that are super about the masks and kids and, you know, all this other stuff I've got going on in the background. You realize they don't know, or they do know and they're complacent, or they don't want to know and they're ignoring it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's your job to educate them. If you have this information, if you know in your heart of what's right and what's wrong, what's good science, what's bad science, don't let the media, just because it's the Goliath and you're David, you know, give it your best. And, you know, even if it's, you know, you've been with your employer for 20 years and you just can't believe that you're in this position, realize that, you know, more than likely that manager, they have a heart, they have a soul, they know who you are. Reach out to them, give them some love, give them some wisdom, and stand your ground.
Take the mask off, friends.
Take your mask off.
Take it off, because we just found out by good authority yesterday at a business group talking, OSHA was telling them that they're not going to give fines anymore. They're not going into businesses and giving fines.
Take off your mask, guys.
Take off
your
mask.
Let's have a good weekend.
So we can do this. Yes, thank you for tuning in, friends, today. We certainly are glad to have you along. Go to KSLM.news, share this podcast link, find us on Facebook, and thank you for tuning in. Have a blessed weekend. If you go to the fair, enjoy the fair. We'll be talking to you next weekend, probably live from somewhere out in the community. Movers and Shakers with Stacey Ann. Have a great day. Yeah.